And Luke chapter 13, and we'll read just a couple verses, verses 18 and 19. You follow along as I read. Then said he unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? Or what really is it like? What does it resemble? Verse 19 said, it is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Father, we pray you teach us some principles regarding missions and giving. I know oftentimes we come to a missions conference and we hold on to our billfolding because everybody wants money. But Lord, you know, in my heart, it's not money. It's getting the hearts of the people to see missions. And as the theme of the conference is, a heart for the harvest. And I pray truly that we would get a heart for the harvest this morning and realize that it's all of us laboring together to fulfill the Great Commission and going and giving and sending and just doing the will of God, beginning here in our Jerusalem first. And then in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the world, all at the same time. And so speak to our hearts. Lord, it's been good to be here. It's been good to laugh. It's been good to hear the music, the testimonies, the presentations. Now this morning, Lord, really, this hour is the most important time in the life and the ministry of this church throughout the year. And so bless it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And really, this morning is like a business meeting. It is a business meeting. It's a business meeting because you as a church are going to decide what you're going to do for the next year about the king's business. And the king's business is very obvious when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the king's business. That's the responsibility of the church. You know, all of you can't go. Some of you could. Amen. We've got a good row of young people here on this side. And, you know, you're all getting old enough to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you know that 90% of the missionaries make a decision regarding missions before the 13 years of age? And many of them are called during camps in the summer. And we're never too young to ask God what he wants us to do. But we're never too old to say, Lord, how can I help them do what you want them to do? How can I be a part of God's work? And really, it's all of us laboring together, for we are laborers together with God. And here in our text, it says, and then he said unto them, what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a certain man took and cast it into his garden and grew and waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. So it's like a man who took a certain seed. I read a story several years ago about a missionary who had served in the hills of Guatemala. And he belonged to an organization back then, they were called the tent makers. And they usually had an old Volkswagen van, sort of one like the hippies drove. You know, they put flowers all over the side. By the way, they still make those in Mexico. They still make the VW Beetle, the bug, in Mexico, like the old ones. Anyhow, they would take those vans, they would build a platform on top of the van. They would go into a village, into a square, and almost every village and town has a big square in the middle, a big mercado. Or they call it a plaza. And they would set up a screen and put the projector on top. And they would also have a lectern up there. And they would preach from the top of that van. But they would show a film, maybe a Moody Science film or something like that, to draw the attention of the people. And sometimes they'd draw 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people to hear the message and to see the film. And afterwards, those who came forward and accepted Christ as Savior, they would give all of them a Bible. Well, he said he had a regular schedule, different towns and so forth that he would go to. And then every 2 years, he'd go back to those same towns. And he said he'd gone back to this town second or third time. He didn't quite remember. But he said they showed another film, and people came forward and got saved. But he said when everybody was dismissed, he said there was an old fellow that was sitting down in front yet. And he said he was now up in age, and he said he carried this ball of rags. The man came up to him and he said to the missionary, he said, "Do you remember me?" And he said, "No, not really." He said, "I was here 2 years ago when you were here. And you showed the film," and he said, "I asked Jesus into my heart to be my Savior. And," he said, "you gave me a Bible. And I took that Bible and I went home. And," he said, "I learned to read because I wanted to read the Bible. So I read the Bible all the way through." And he said, "I began to tell my neighbors and the people I knew about Jesus." And he said, I would tell them, and they would begin to argue with me because they grew up. And he said, "Everybody here is Catholic." And they'd say, "Well, you know, I have to pray to the Virgin Mary." And he'd say, "No, no, no." And he said, "The Bible says this," and he'd go to the New Testament, he'd find a Bible and talk about Jesus being the intercessor for our sins. And he said, "I'd pull the table page out of the Bible and I'd say, 'Here, this is what the Bible says.'" Somebody else say, "Well, you know, I'll go to heaven. I'll talk to the priest, or I'll do this, or I'll do that." And he said, "I'd go," and he said, John 14, I remember, said, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he said, "I'd tear the page out and give it to him." And he said, "Missionary," he said, "I gave him my Bible away." He said, "Do you want to see it?" He said, "I'd like to have a new one." He said, "Yes." He looked, he told, "Where's his Bible?" And he had that Bible all wrapped up in those rags to protect it. And he said he took all the rags off, and he said, he showed me that Bible. And he said, that was the worst Bible I have ever seen in my entire life. He said, "There wasn't much of it." And he said, "What did you do?" He said, "I just gave it away." He said, "When they asked me a question, I'd find the answer and I'd give them the page. I'd give them the page, or I'd tear out the verse and give them the verse." And he said, "I need another one." And he said, "I gladly gave him a brand new Bible because I knew what he was going to do with it. He was going to take it and tear pages out and give it to people." And you know, that's exactly what he is saying here in Luke chapter 13. He said, "What is it like? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast it into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." The text really is describing the kingdom of heaven. And he said it's like a grain of mustard seed. You stop and think, the seed is the word of God. The sower is the believer. The soil is the souls of men, and the field is the world. And our responsibility is to take the seed, the word of God, and sow it into the hearts of men, whether it's in Tanzania, or whether it's in Zambia, or whether it's in Kiribati, amen, no matter where it is, our responsibility is to sow the seed into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Matter of fact, Dry Run Valley Baptist Church has a responsibility. And that responsibility is to sow the seed into the hearts of your neighbors. I used to tell my folks in Canada, I said, you know, most of us, to witness to our neighbors, we have to spend a half hour apologizing for being idiots to our neighbors. Let me give you a simple illustration. I had a guy in my church named Ed. Ed was a good guy. He worked. He made good money. Is there a guy here named Ed? Maybe it fits. I don't know. And well, it's not this Ed here, all right? And Ed was the type of guy. Now, every time thing I say, you're all going to say, it's just like him. I'm going to be in trouble. But Ed was the type of guy that, I mean, he was always wanting something for nothing, you know. And that's not it. All right. It's not this Ed, all right. Names have been changed to protect the innocent. And, but anyhow, he came over to the church one, we were having a work day on a Saturday morning. Well, Ed would always bring his car or his truck, whichever one, because we had several guys in the church as mechanics. So instead of helping, he tried to get these guys to come over and fix his truck for nothing. Well, he came over one Saturday morning for a work day, and he was upset. And I said, Ed, what's your problem? He said, my neighbor's mad at me. So knowing Ed, I said, what did you do? Well, there was a line of bushes right down between Ed's property and the neighbor's, and it was parking lot on this side on his driveway. And he said, my neighbor didn't trim his bushes. Well, it was just spring. He hadn't gotten around to it yet. So Ed took his chainsaw and cut the neighbor's bushes down right down to the ground. If I was the neighbor, I'd have killed him. So I said to him, I said, Ed, I said, have you ever invited your neighbor to church? He said, nope. I looked at him and I said, forget it. I said, you've offended your neighbor terribly. I said, now how are you going to witness to the neighbor? The only way you're going to witness is you've got to apologize to him for what you did. And oftentimes the hardest people to win is our neighbors. Why? Because they see us. And I worked hard to be friends to my neighbors. Matter of fact, when I moved there in St. Catharines, Ontario, and I lived on the corner, I lived on One Hollywood Avenue. I lived on the corner of Hollywood and Vine in St. Catharines. Right on our yard, Hollywood and Vine. Boy, a lot of preachers like to take a picture of themselves under Hollywood and Vine. And I like a garden. I love working out in the yard and the garden. So on the one side of my house, there was an area, and people lived there before. I had a little bit of a garden. So I thought, well, this thing needs to be fertilized. So I went down and met a farmer, and I said, can you bring me a single axle load of manure? He said, sure, and I paid him for it. And he brought it up on a Friday afternoon, backed up in my yard, and dumped this big load of manure. Well, it was on the same end of the house where our bedroom was. And we were laying there, and my wife goes, and she said, hun, we live in the town, in the city. She said, what are the neighbors going to think? The whole neighborhood smells like a pile of manure. Oh, I said, I didn't think about that. So the next morning I got up and I was going to spread that manure. Three of the neighbors were out there with wheelbarrows. And one knows they could have some of the manure. I gave the neighbors, you know, as much manure as they could take. And I still had enough for myself. And I became known in our whole division as the gardener, the guy that knew how to plant a garden. And I became friends with my neighbors. We won my neighbor's wife to the Lord. We won their 45-year-old daughter to the Lord. Every neighbor around me has visited our church to hear me preach. And when I left to move to actually start this ministry, one of my neighbors came and threw his arms around me and cried as a grown man. And he said, you're the best neighbor I ever had. But he still hadn't accepted the Lord. But he came to hear me preach. And you know what I simply did? That little pile of manure, instead of apologizing everything, just gave it away. And that's what we're to do here. He says, this certain man took his seed. Now, let me give you a couple things about this, and we're not going to labor long. Number one, to take a seed and to plant it in the garden is a very, number one, it is a very simple task. Even to take and to minister your neighbor, it's a very simple task. How many of you know how to bake a loaf of bread? Amen. Ed, can you bake a loaf of bread? Well, run down and buy one, all right? But I won't pick on Ed. He's like a nose. He's pickable. And but, you know, listen, the things that you do, and the way that you witness and the way that you befriend your neighbor, it doesn't have to be something phenomenal. It's just a simple task. Even saying good morning. My neighbor right across from me, he was Ukrainian. And I was always having my table thaw out and always making something or doing something for somebody. And every time he heard my saw, he'd bring something. Hey, Daddy, he said, will you cut this? I said, yeah, I will cut that for you. So I cut it. One day he brings this whole stack of lumber and had it all marked. And he said, will you cut this for me? I said, Alec, I said, do you want me just to build the shelves for you? And I did. To take the seed, the Word of God, is just like taking ourselves and sowing. It's a very simple thing. It's a simple act. So what do you do? Number one, he spied it. Then he spied it personally. If you're going to win somebody to the Lord, you have got to determine in your heart to pray for that individual, to do everything you can for that individual, because it is a personal confrontation with that individual that lets them know that you love them. When you go to Hungary, it's a personal thing. Mark Patton, one of our missionaries, no longer with him, but doing a great job over there. And he would get these bags of clothes, and he'd pay so much a pound out of Holland. Some of the stuff is brand new. And all different sizes. I mean, I'm talking about suits and dresses and underclothes and all this stuff. So we went over there and we set up this tent. And the tent was probably twice the size of this building. I mean, it was a job. Set up all these tables, took these bags of clothes, untied it, pulled them out. And then the young people separate all the clothes according to size and men and women and boys and girls and all this stuff. And the Hungarian people were very proud people. You don't give them something. You buy it. So what we did, leave this all out, and they'd pay a dollar for a suit. I'm talking about a nice suit. Matter of fact, one of our fellows that was with us, he needed a suit. And so I paid for a suit, a dollar. And, they'd buy underclothes, 10 cents a piece, 5 cents a piece. Just one old fella, he had all of his clothes. And I took a picture of it. He had stolen the pair of underwear. And he put them in his pocket, and they were hanging out like this, And but when they would come and they'd buy this stuff, and they were really thankful to get it. But then Mark would give them a gospel tract, and then we would take all that clothing down, and we had a meeting every night. I'd preach one night, Mark preached another night, and this was an invitation to come to the meeting. And folks, we would have 100 people each night. And we met every one of them by taking and providing the clothes for them. It's a very simple act. And you spy it personally. If I'm going to win one of you to the Lord, my responsibility is to say, hey, I'm going to win my neighbor to Christ. And I'm going to do everything I can this year to be able to win his friendship so that he'll go to church with me or so that I have a chance to win. So number one, he spied it personally. Secondly, he chose it deliberately. Now that may seem redundant. But if I'm going to, I have got to deliberately look at him. Amen. Sometimes we just throw the seed, well, Lord, wherever it happens on, it's it. No, I see you. Now I'm going to do it deliberately to try to love this dear brother to the Lord. We had a fellow that I was out passing out some flyers one day for the church, and by myself, we were basically maybe 6 months after we started. So I was on a Saturday morning just passing out some flyers to come to church. I saw this young man, and he was working on a Mustang. Well, I like cars. And so I went over, and we spent probably 2.5 hours. I was helping a little bit. We just talked about everything under the sun, and I invited him to church. Years later, I was preaching on a Sunday night, came he and his wife and his 2 teenage children in the church. And so I went over to their house, and I said, what got you to church? He said, you remember that day when you talked with me and you helped me do some stuff with my Mustang? I said, yeah. He said, when you left, I went in and told my wife, if we ever get back in church, that's where we're going to go. And within 3 weeks, I won Ross and his wife and both of his teenagers to Christ. But it was a very simple act of taking that invitation. And I talked to him deliberately about Christ. You know, sometimes we talk to somebody, we talk all around, but we never get down to why we're there. And I say, I'll talk around, but I'm not going to leave until they know why I'm there. So the man, in that very simple act, he spied it deliberately, personally, he chose it deliberately, and his intention was to use that seed properly. If I took that seed and laid it right here in the pulpit, it would never grow. But if I took that seed and I planted it in the ground, and like Isaiah chapter 5 verses 1 through 7 says, he says, I dug it, I planted it. He said, I watered it. He said, I did everything I could. I took the weeds out around it. I built a fence around it. I put a tower in the middle of it to keep everything away. Why? Because he had planted a seed. He did it properly. And when that seed is buried, only then does the outward shell fall off and it begins to grow. The man planted in his garden. I said the other night how important it is that we know where our garden is. So it was a very simple act. And then secondly, it was a single act. We've already touched on it. Number one, he sowed a single seed. A single seed. A single tract. A single invitation. You know, somehow we need to get back to the place where when Sunday church is over, we aren't in a hurry to get to the closest restaurant. You know why a lot of people don't invite people to church today? Because we're going to go someplace to eat after church and we don't want to take anybody with us. You know, most churches really don't need a bus ministry. If everybody in the church stopped and picked up a child in your neighborhood, you'd probably have more than your bus could haul. Amen? So I think we have to get back to the fact where we realize it is a simple thing. And not only did he use it properly, secondly, he showed a living thing. A living thing. Brother Ham, come up here a minute. Come on, you can help me preach. Yes. He is a ham, too. Man, hot ham. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're hungry.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Porky. And now, let me share something. This is important. He gave his testimony the other night. I was listening. About how God had called him, but there was a time when he ran away. There was a time when he got picked up for DUI. There was a time when he had a Dodge Dakota pickup truck, one of the worst gas hauls that's ever been on the highway. And, you know, and all those things. And then God spoke to his heart and got him back, and here he is today getting ready to go to Hungary. Now stop and think. When you sow that seed, it's a very simple thing. But everything that seed is intended to do is already there in that seed. And everything that God wants Brother Man to do, everything, every gift that God has for him, God gave it to him when he got saved. And in his growth, in his maturity, in his Christian life, those things begin to come out. But listen, they will never come out, and he will tell you in his testimony, the things that God had for him, he had put a cover over them for a while. But when we die to ourselves, what happens? The outside begins to peel off. And in the case of a seed, it will not peel off until first of all it's buried, and that burial really is a death to ourself. And so as he takes and he goes to the country of Hungary with the desire to win people to Christ, all that God has for him to do and all that God can use him is already there. And as he continues to grow, I've been saved almost 55 years. You know how much I think I know? I'm getting about that much. It seems like, you know, when you get out of college, you think you know it all. And the more you're in the ministry, you realize how much you don't know. But, you know, God can take what you know. And he can plant you in a place, in this case, in Hungary. That outside falls off. I mean, you go there. And you are going to feel like you're the dumbest guy in all the world. Because all the little kids around you can speak Hungarian, and you're doing your best just to speak English. And you've got to start just like a child all over again. And like he said the other night, he said he can't wait to write the prayer letter about the first person that he wins to Christ. Thank you. That's what God does. When we realize that we are a living thing and God says, I want to bury you so that this old outer shell falls off. And the whole intent for which God has for you comes to fruition. And you're there. It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man planted in his garden. It's a very simple act. It's a very single act. It's a very secure act. It's a very you put the words to it. But God says, I want to use you. And God says to the church this morning, as you think about giving to missions, you're not given to the pastor. You're not given to the church. You're not given to me. You're not given to the Hams or Mans. You're not given to the Bowmans. You're not given to this beautiful, single, young girl who is desperately hunting a husband, you know. Aren't you glad you're going to leave today? Amen. I'm going to write them, and I'm mourning about you. Okay, I know both the missionaries you want to work with, and they're a great couple. Listen, you're given to the work of God. You're given out of obedience to God. You're given, and Paul says, he says, as you give it, he says that it might be given to your account. It's not to me. It's not to the pastor. It's not to the missionaries. You know, when you give out of a heart of love and out of a sacrificial heart, it goes on your account. I think one of the saddest things is when the believer stands before the Lord and he says, what do you have for me? And you say, I've got nothing. I have nothing. I want to tell you a story in closing that I think will be a blessing to your hearts. I love missionary stories. I've read a lot of missionary biographies. The missionary told about working among the mountain people in South America. And he said, these people were not an educated people. He said, 90% of them could not read. They could not write. But he said they're known worldwide for the sheep that they raise and the quality of wool. So he said they make good money with what they do. And he said because of their ignorance in reading and so forth, he said, I need somehow to get across to them the importance of telling their friends and their neighbors about Jesus. So I noticed, he said, they would let their sheep out every day. He said that the sheepfold only had one door, and there is only one door, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And he said, in order to let their sheep out, he said they would have stones in their pockets. And he says, as each sheep would go out, he said, they'd put the stone on this side of the gate. When all the sheep were out, each one of those stones represented a sheep that was out grazing that day with a shepherd. At night, they would bring those sheep in. And as the sheep would come in one by one, they'd pick up the stones and they'd put them in their pocket. And when they got in, they would take those stones and they'd put them down on this side. As they put them down on this side, they would count the number of stones. They'd realize that there's a couple stones over here because there are a couple sheep somewhere out in the thicket. And they would go out, and sometimes all night, and they would stay there until they found that sheep and brought that sheep in. And he thought, you know, that's a great illustration. And so he talked to his people about telling other people about Jesus. And he took and he took on, and they just had a dirt floor in their church. And he took a stick and he drew a sheepfold in the door. And he talked about Jesus and giving the illustration, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. And on he would tell the story. And as he told the story, he'd pick up the sticks from this side and put over on this side. Because those were the sheep that were out. And he said, then they, as you go out and you tell people about Jesus, one by one, he said, the sheep are now in the fold. And he'd begin to take the sticks from here and put them in the fold. And somehow it clicked to them. A couple of days later, a boy came running and he knocked on the missionary door. And he said, missionary, missionary. He said, Grandma is missing. And she was quite an old lady. And everybody in the village began to hunt, and they could not find Grandma. They hunted for several days, and no one found Grandma, and they figured she had been out, perhaps somebody devoured, or she had fallen over a cliff or something. They couldn't find Grandma. One day they were out, and somewhere in the little square, little market square, and they saw somebody walking up the path. And the closer they got, they realized it was Grandma. And she had a big handful of sticks. When Grandma got there, the missionary went over and he said, Grandma, he said, where have you been? He said she had a smile on her face and said both of her teeth showed. And he said, and she was just so happy. He said, where have you been? Oh, she said, I did not come from this village. She said, I grew up two mountain ranges over. And you told us that we had to tell our people about Jesus. And I knew nobody had let me go because I'm old. And she said, it took me a long time to climb up those mountains. So she said, I left early so my family wouldn't know I was gone. And she said, I went over to talk to my family and the people I grew up with and tell them about Jesus. And he said, well, Grandma, you can't read and you can't write. What did you tell them? She smiled again and she said, I just told them what Jesus did for me. And he said, well, what happened? Well, she said, you know, it took me longer to walk back because I was awful tired. But he said, what happened? And she said, many came to Jesus. And he said, how many? And she said, I don't know. And she gave him this whole handful of sticks. And she said, this many. And he began to count the sticks. And he laid the sticks out in front of the people. And when he finished, she had won 32 to Jesus. By doing what? Just simply telling them what happened to her. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, listen, the same thing can happen to you. And Jesus can come into your heart and Jesus can save you no matter how old you are or no matter how sinful you are or no matter what your life was like. Jesus can save you. Why? Because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I got saved when I was 17 years of age. And you know what, folks? I've been saved ever since then. Amen. And God called me into missions and a year later I went to Bible college. When I graduated from Bible college and then my wife graduated a year later, the day she graduated from Bible college, I had already raised my support and we left for the mission field. The day she graduated. What did we do? We went there to sow the seed, the Word of God, into the hearts of people. I had a pickup truck. I had as many as 12 kids in the front of my pickup truck. We didn't have anything in those days like a four-door pickup truck. It was a two-door pickup truck, stick shift. So I had to set somebody that they all had snow clothes on and so forth because they get 40, 50 below zero. And so I could shift the gears. And every Sunday morning, I'd go and pick up anywhere from 10 to 12 kids in my pickup truck. I earned my Ph.D., piled high and deeper. Amen. But you know, one by one, those kids came to know Jesus as their Savior. How that happened? Because the church is just like you. Began to share my burden. And they helped me get to the field. And that's what faith promise is all about. It's sowing the seed, the Word of God. And they sow it as we sow the seed in giving to them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for God's Word. As the pastor comes, I pray, Lord Jesus, first of all, if there's one here, or two, or many that really do not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that before this day is over, that they'd ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and come into their heart and to be their personal Savior. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I pray for those this morning. I pray this morning for the entire church as a body. Lord, that you would just so burden their hearts that faith promise would just basically ooze from their souls. And God, you'd do something this morning in this church that you've never done. And Lord, you'd bless in a mighty way that each one of these missionaries that are here and going to their fields, Lord, to be able to deputize this church in being part of their ministry. This church would deputize them to be representatives of Sugar Dry Run Baptist Church, to be a ministry and a witness, be it Hungary or Tanzania or Kiribati. And so use this time, Lord, I pray, and help us to be faithful in giving and expanding our faith. And we'll give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.